Welcome to Atomic Radio Hour. I'm your host, Vince. Hello. Welcome to episode 147.
Yeah, we're getting up there.
147. Yeah, 147. Hell yeah. Cool.
And I'm your host, Olive.
We were just talking before. If you ever listen to a podcast and it seems like people just start, they meet up, hey, how are you, and they start talking, we talk for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, before. We just talk for like an hour just shooting the shit.
Yeah,
like, I'm already halfway done my jar of water.
I didn't even grab one. I as I hit record, I realized I didn't have one. But we were talking about Halo 3 and
yeah,
Reach.
We were talking about old times. Old times of Halo.
I'm this close to buying a Series X. Like, I'm this close. I just, because Bethesda, Psychonauts, Halo, like.
Also, it's a good media hub.
I mean, I'm not going to use it. Like, I really like my TV's media hub.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I want to play Halo.
I'm not ready for next gen yet at this point.
No, I want to wait for several reasons. I want to wait because I know the next batch of consoles that will come out will be more readily available and better quality.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of this generation, I wouldn't be surprised if we're starting to see 6 and 8K outputs from console.
Yeah.
So, you know,
like the PS5 and Xbox X Pro. You know,
or whatever
the pro is for this upcoming one.
My brother got a 5.
Did he?
He's been trying forever, and he finally got it. Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, I was like, and I when he told me, I was like, oh, cool. There's nothing on it. I was like, there's no reason. Yeah, there's no exclusives. The only exclusive that's like only on PS5 is the Demon's Souls remake right now, if I remember correctly. Within a few weeks, the new Ratchet and Clank comes out, and that looks.
That looks really tight.
So good.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's going to get that.
I thought Spider-Man Miles was only on PlayStation.
It's on PS4 and 5. So I got him the 4 for – I got him the 4
Didn't it have
version.
Like the upgrade code though?
I don't know. I don't understand how it works. It was like if you wanted to – I think it was if you bought the PS4, you could put it in the PS5 and it would upgrade for free. But if you bought the PS5 version, you'd have to pay to get it for the PS4 version. But why would you play the PS4 version if you have the PlayStation 5?
Yeah.
So – I just want to play Halo, dude.
Yeah, the last time I played Halo was probably in like, it was in an aught, like a 2009.
Wow.
Maybe. And it was with a friend from grade school, and we used to play Halo 3 all the time. And those were just some really great days. And I think I might get the Master Chief Collection just to play Halo 3, like, one more time.
Yeah, just get the skulls and the Hayabusa armor.
Mm-hmm.
I was at work. It's actually a story that I wanted to tell on the show. I was at work. We were talking about videos, James. And just, like, people don't understand how special it was to have an Xbox during Halo's reign.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would get home from school, and from 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever time I got home, until 2 in the morning, it was custom games.
Like, I loved custom games. We used to do customs all the time.
Griffball. I wasn't big on Griffball, but like,
we used to do Sandbox.
You just in Forge? You around in Forge?
Yeah, I forgot what it was called, but it was just like the Sandbox mode.
Oh, dude. And me and Papa played so much SWAT. So much. SWAT was my favorite game, dude. Oh, my God. I want to play Halo so badly. Like, I know
I mean,
my PC won't do it.
There's still servers for, like, all the games because of Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. The Halo 2 servers were up for, I want to say, 3 weeks after they shut them down because people wouldn't turn their Xboxes off.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. I want to play so badly. But we were talking about this is what I was getting at. We were talking about video games at work, and this kid and I that I work with or work adjacent to, or I should say, we were talking about Doom 2016 mm-hmm. and how good it is.
And it just feels great.
Yeah, and he was asking me about if I played Eternal, and I was like, no, I haven't. And he was like, it's good. It feels a little different. I was like, I heard that you can do this and do that. He's like, yeah, kind of. And then he was telling me about Nier Automata with 2B.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was like, it's post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Like, it's well after. It's like 200,000 years later.
There's actually a Nier Automata expansion for Final Fantasy that I play.
Really?
Yeah. They're the Nier raids. You can get like the 2B armor set and everything. It's cool.
Cool. Well, he was telling me that like there's the 27 or 26 different endings, one for every letter of the alphabet, and like it's a tough game, but it's not stupid tough, and like it's not anime-y, and it's more fantasy and this and that, and it seemed really cool. And when I hear the words post-apocalyptic, I was like, how do we feel about the Fallout series, gang? And the one dude's like, they're cool. And the other guy that was like part of the conversation goes, I love 1, 2 in New Vegas. And I looked over and I was like, you're the coolest guy I work with now. And I was like, and I was like, you don't think that. I was like, and I instantly went on to the tirade of Fallout 3 does not get the credit it deserves when it comes to isolation and the architecture and the feel of Fallout 1 and the toughness and the brutalness, and everything's going to die and I'm going to die and you're going to die and it's all our fault and this and that. And he's like, no, they're good. They're good. He's like, they're just not – he goes, something about the West Coast does it for me. Mm. And like he walked away, and 20 minutes later I go, hey, I'm sorry. Because we talked for 20 minutes and he's like technically above me at work. So he's like trying to be active, and I'm just like, videos, yeah. James. And he came back and I was like, look, real quick, Grant or Ulysses? Not Grant.
Ooh. Graham.
Graham or Ulysses? And dude, he pondered on it. He genuinely thought about it. And the whole time in the back of my head, all I'm thinking is, I don't enjoy killing, but when done righteously, it is a chore just like any other. Just over and over.
And the bull.
And dude, he probably took 5 seconds, but it felt like 35. And he looks at me, goes, Ulysses. And I like a child being told no, I went, I was like, why? I was like, why not Graham? And he's like, I really like Ulysses' backstory. I like him. I like the conflict. And I'm like, but the Melpass Legget. Like, it was just – I was so afraid to – I asked him, I go, who – because he said he was playing a new playthrough. And I was like, who are you siding with? And he's like, I think I'm going to go independent. And I was doing everything in my power. If he asked me any questions about who I side with, I didn't know if it would be really cool or really lame to refer to Caesar as Kaisar. And I didn't want to be like that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'll refer to Kaisar as Kaisar on the show, because like it's the show. It's the theme.
It's the Fallout show.
Yeah, like it's the thing. But like, I didn't want him to just be like, who are you siding with? And I would, I didn't want to be that guy who fucking,
to Kaisar.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that. Like, I didn't want to be the dude who fucking quotes the thing. Like, the dude who is in the band and wears the band's t-shirt on. Yeah. But like, I'm like trying to not freak out. I'm like,
did you plug? You take every, you'll no. show the show anywhere you go.
I feel weird about doing it with people I work with.
Mm.
I don't want them to know what I do in my free time.
Like, that's fair. Work-life separation.
And this is a dude who like does podcasting and like does D&D streams and shit.
Oh, so
and,
like, he would love this shit.
Yeah, and I cannot bring myself to tell him. Like, oh. I want to show him tabletop because he's so into D&D.
Mm-hmm.
But like, on one hand, I'm afraid to show him because it's like me and this is my like hobby and whatever. And then another thing is, if he really likes it, we're never putting out another episode.
Yeah.
So
not for a very long time.
So like, is it indefinitely canceled? Is table, we should address it, because I don't feel like we've ever addressed it. We've spoken about it, but like, is it canceled and gone forever, or is it just canceled for right? Like, is it on hiatus or is it gone?
That is the question, isn't it? As of right now, there's no work being done on tabletop.
But you do have the one episode that still needs to come out, right?
Technically, I mean, the file is just real bad. And after because what happened was I had it all like chopped up and leveled and stuff. And then I had a hard drive failure and I lost it. And it was like having a miscarriage for me.
Okay.
Not to be melodramatic, but like we recorded 3 hour blocks of audio.
More.
And I had just done like literally like 12, 13 hours of work because the audio was so fucked up because like one person was way too high and one person like there was like this crazy echo and noise. And after I had lost it, like the light from my eyes had drained and I was like, I can't do this again. Not for a while.
So there's but one that still needs to come out.
Technically, there's still a lost episode.
There's one that has to come out.
Yes.
And then after that,
there could be other D&D projects
that are tabletop.
Sure thing.
Or that are, I mean, tabletop in the sense that it's going to be based on Fallout or it's going to be based in 5e or
a tabletop RPG of some kind. I mean, I like our Fallout game and I'd love to do more in the Fallout tabletop space, but I'm not sure if that story is going to keep going on. I just don't know.
I'm jonesing for D&D, dude. I put a group together.
I know.
I put a group together here in Colorado, and we meet up, and then I said, like, all right, you guys want to play? And one person's like, you know, I don't really think I want to play. And I was like, all right, well, that makes two people that are going to play, and then me as the DM. I can't really run that game.
Yeah.
So, and then the other dude who's going to play with us is always working whenever it's convenient for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So like I don't have a group,
right? I just ordered a D&D mystery expansion. So I might run like a couple of one-off mysteries just like sporadically in like the next coming months.
Could we stream that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like if you're gonna have it, we could stream. The only thing is we need something that isn't, I mean, you could just stream this Discord. You know what I mean? Like, if it's you, me, and Papa, and then somebody else, we could just stream this and put this on Twitch.
And also, I have my OBS, like, overlays that I can make, like, beautiful things. Hold on, let me get that, copy of the book I got. It'll be here, I think, like, next week at some point. I'll throw it in Host Lounge.
Yeah, let me see.
I got the special edition cover. It's cool. The Candlekeep Mysteries for anyone that keeps up with 5e books.
Sure. But
the art for the special edition cover, so cool. And I got it at a better price than what you see here. I think I got it for like 50-something.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's taken forever to ship, because it was from like an independent like bookstore.
Good shit. Good on you.
But like got it through like Amazon alternate sellers, you know, like how you can do like other sellers.
Yeah. I need to roll some dice. I'm feeling it. And I'm afraid that if I go to a casino and roll some dice, I'm going to lose all my money.
I'm broke.
Yeah. And cause you know how I am. I'd like to fucking.
I know how you are.
Let's, can we talk about this? Can we talk about streaming a D&D game?
You can like
talk about it now. I know. Well, I'm saying like behind the scenes, like let's get it set up, because I have a friend who I wanted to stream a D&D game, but I always DM.
And you know that I would love nothing more than to DM.
See, you and I are both perma DMs, which I think is really weird, because we've never technically played with each other, but we've played with each other.
Yeah. We've always been at opposite ends of the table.
Because I'm either DMing for you or you're DMing for me.
Except that one time where Kyle DM'd for both of us, but it was short-lived.
I don't remember that one.
It was our first D&D game.
No, it wasn't.
Not our first, like, actual... Our first campaign.
No, it wasn't.
Because remember, Kyle...
Didn't you come into that one late?
Hmm?
Didn't you come into that late?
No.
I don't think you were a part of... No, you weren't a part of that. You were not. I'm like 98% sure you were not. I'm pretty sure it was. I was DMing. It was Papa, our dead friend in Frankenstein, and that was it.
And it was also me.
Are you sure?
I literally have all of the original notes.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Do you remember Lex and Floren?
Yeah. You were at the first session.
Yes.
Why don't I remember you being there?
Remember the Pinkerton stuff?
Yeah.
I was there for it. Maybe you don't remember it because it was an alternate reality of me.
Maybe. But I...
Because now I'm a hot biological woman, and back then that wasn't the case.
Who the...
Oh, no.
Who...
I literally have all of Kyle's original notes. Like, I'm in
No,
there.
I believe you. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying I don't remember.
No, that's fine.
I need to roll some dice.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Ooh, speaking of dice. There's a game shop that's local to where I am here in the New York space.
Yeah.
And there's like a glass case of like these custom like crystal like and cast dies.
Yeah.
And dude, next time I'm over there, I'm going to take a picture. There's these ones that look like they're just like glass, but the glass is like a really like sparkly like tie dye. And that sounds like it would be gaudy, but they just look like pristine.
Cool.
Kind of like mother of pearl, but not as hazy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Ask Kyle to send you the pictures of the dice he just bought. He bought some beautiful D20s he just showed me.
Really?
The color scheme was Vaporwave and something ruby.
Ooh. Are they like crystals?
I don't know. He told me they were a lot though. Like it's he only bought the 20s because they were so expensive.
Mm.
Do you wanna get into the Patreon and then we can get into the lore?
Sure. We can totally thank some people.
Cool.
So we have a Patreon and that is what makes this show possible.
Yes.
Recently, like, I just got charged for our website, and I was like, you know what? That is stuff that can be paid for by the show.
When did that happen? Why don't you tell me when these things happen?
I was just going to cover it.
Oh.
It was like, the domain costs like $13 a year. It's not going to kill me.
I mean, still, take it from the thing. Like, even if you pay with your thing, take it from the thing. But thank you.
Yeah. But thank you guys make this show possible. You keep the lights on around here. And we have some people to thank.
Yes.
First up is going to be Noah.
Thank you, Noah.
Thanks, Noah. Next up is Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
Then we have Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
We have Bones Jones.
Thank you, Bones Jones.
And last but definitely not least is Girth Brooks.
Thank you, Girth Brooks.
Thanks so much, folks. It's because of you that we can do this. I truly, truly thank you.
Yeah, and we can keep our website and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for the lore, we just got out of the whole antagonist DLC thing, right?
Which was a long series. That, like, took up most of this calendar year.
There was a few vaults and a couple other breaks that we did. I think there's a burner or two thrown in there somewhere. So it feels a lot longer than it actually should have been.
Mm-hmm.
But we've neglected the first two games.
We did. We need to show those Interplay games some love.
Fallout 1, still haven't beaten it.
I know.
And I will eventually do that. I just have to figure something out. I have to beat this effing game. But out of the original two, I prefer one. From everything I've seen, from a little bit I've played of both, I prefer one. I like the feeling of it more. And one town that I don't think we've ever covered, and I asked the Discord, and someone said they don't remember us doing it, so we're doing it, is Junktown.
Yeah.
I think a great idea of a town entirely... We reviewed A Boy and His Dog, right?
Yes, we did.
You know that town where they go to watch porn?
Mm-hmm. At the movie theater town.
Yeah. That town is what I pictured Junktown to be.
Mm-hmm. Just like trash.
Just garbage everywhere. There's a guy outside with a gun who just doesn't know how to read and he's being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a pit.
Kind of like Old Lady Gibson's, but a whole town.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do Junktown for today's lore. And I am very bad at time management. I'm working on a couple other things. Be it personal for the show, whatever. So I'm going to read off the wiki. Don't yell at me.
I won't yell at you.
I'm not a big fan of doing it when it's not for the character, but like I said, I'm not good at time management. Junktown is one of the smaller towns in Southern California as of 2186. This is something that I did not know until I read this just a few minutes before we started. Junktown is part of the New California Republic state of Shady, along with Shady Sands. Ooh. So there's a breakdown of states.
I didn't know there were states of the Republic.
Neither did I. I just thought it was like regions.
Have we ever done the NCR as a lore? It's kind of a loaded lore.
I think we might have. We might have touched upon it.
Like one of the early days?
We might have touched upon it briefly. Because I know we've talked about Tandy. Yeah. I'm looking for states.
It's kind of like, instead of like death by a thousand cuts, it's lore by a thousand like quips. We've got so many little different shreds of it that you can piece it together.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at something here and it just says location states. Well, okay, well, I never thought of it like that. Shady, Boneyard, Maxon, Hub, and Dayglow are all states of it. That makes sense because I always just thought of it as like those were just towns or regions. I never thought of it as a state. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, even here...
Yeah, I only ever, like, thought of it as, like, settlements and towns and stuff.
But yeah, I never thought of it as states, which is wild, because right here it's the New California, the state of Arroyo, the state of the Boneyard, Dayglow, the Hub, the Divide formerly, like, Junktown,
and you know
Modoc,
what? I
Navarro.
Think that's kind of an American problem, because when we think states, we usually think, like, big. But yeah. A lot of places on this planet, their provinces are so small.
Shout out the UK.
Shout out to the UK.
Yeah. I hope one day I get to go to the UK and meet some people that listen, and I will buy them a pint if that is your colloquialism for buying someone a drink, I think. I know it is in Ireland.
And you can say stuff like bruv and isn't it.
Oh, bruv. Yeah. Dude, I'm going to go there and talk with the worst Cockney accent. And after everything I say, I'm going to say, God save the Queen. And nobody can stop me because I'll be wearing American flag shorts. And they'll think, look at this fucking Yankee. All right. Junktown was founded shortly after the war by Killian Darkwater's grandfather. Instead of building on the ruins of an old town, he thought it would be better to begin from the ground up, as the name suggests. It was built after the Great War out of random pieces of junk, mostly from wrecked cars. The town mostly lives off trading and has a reputation for open hospitality. In 2161, the mayor of Junktown was Killian Darkwater, grandson of the founder, who also ran Darkwater's general store. Another big player in town was Gizmo, a big-time crook and casino owner. While Gizmo's casino brought a lot of tourists and money into the town, problems also came with that. Other important places in Junktown at the time include the Crash House Inn, great name, home of the Skulls, and the Scum Pit, another great name. If
the
there's
scum
anything,
pit.
If spelled S-K-U-M,
the if, Scum Pit.
If anything in Psycho or Psycho, sorry, I'm reading Tycho and dyslexia. If Fallout 1 does anything great, it's the simple names.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Scum Pit, the Skulls, spelled S-K-U-L-Z.
Yeah.
A bar owned by Neil. I'm sorry. The Scum Pit is a bar owned by Neil. Doc Morbid was the town's doctor. Tycho, a desert ranger who was also raised in Junktown at the time. Drawing weapons in the town are not permitted except in self-defense. This is something that I learned the hard way several times playing this game.
Yes.
The gates of the town are closed at night. Lars headed the guards in Junktown working for Killian. The gates are guarded by Kalnor. Great name. They also had a jail that was guarded by Andrew. Decent name. The guards were aware.
Andrew. Decent name.
Well, it's not Kalnor. Like, yeah, I'm saying apocalypse wise. The guards were also aware of the illegal activity of Gizmo and the Skulls, but they didn't want to act without proper evidence. Gizmo hired a man to assassinate Killian in order to gain full control over the town. it is not explicitly stated in the Vault Dweller's memoirs which side the Vault Dweller sided with, as it alludes to both Killian and Gizmo. When I first walked into the town, I didn't realize that I couldn't have my gun out, and I would just get shot instantly. And
hi.
I remember,
hi, I'm looking for help. Where is Killian?
And then just bang, yeah. And also, there was a time where I reloaded, because after you talk to Killian, the guy comes to assassinate him, and I was near Killian or moved around or did something and wound up shooting Killian, and I might have killed him. So the whole town turned on me just because of the way the combat works. You can accidentally fire on. After 2186, Junktown became part of the New California Republic as part of the state of Shady and was one of the first provisional states. Its status came as a result of it being one of the first and most trustworthy of Shady Sands' trading partners during the early formative years. Its alliance with the NCR did cause some alarm for the caravanners in the hub at first, but the hub eventually became part of the NCR as well. By 2281, Junktown would prosper into a farming community with Frank Weathers, known to have a 100-acre farm. However, he would abandon his farm, bring his entire family in a vain attempt to strike it rich at gambling in New Vegas. Is this a player character? Is this a character you can meet?
Frank Weathers?
Holy shit.
Believe so.
This is a dude who I've seen a million and six times in New Vegas, and I don't think I've ever spoken to.
Next week's lore, Frank Weathers. You know what? Frank Weathers sounds like a late night jazz DJ.
My name's Frank Weathers, and this here is Frank Weathers. Jazz.
Bringing you the hottest, smoothest jazz. Yeah, dude.
Some whiskey type jazz.
I kind of picture Frank Weathers to be a black fella.
As do I.
But this man is painfully Caucasian.
He is. Yeah, oh, gosh. Yeah.
I picture a Frank Weathers to be a more melanin-enriched individual. He's got a wife. He's got a kid. Kenny Weathers. Holy shit. Kenny Weathers is a slave? Holy shit. His kid's in Cottonwood Cove? What the fuck? There's so much in this game. His daughter is also at Cottonwood Cove? His wife? Dude, the whole family's at Cottonwood Cove.
I had no clue.
Dude, neither did I.
Is there like a quest that you can... Wait, left my heart. Is there a quest that you can... Yeah, there's a quest that you can save this family at Cottonwood Cove.
Wow. Wow. The game's how old, we're still learning shit. That's wild.
And we've, played New Vegas, five times-ish?
I just streamed it. And
literally just streamed it.
It was a 20-something... It was a 20-something part stream at 3 hours a stream. It was 60-something hours of streaming.
With highlights? You can find those on Atomic Radio Hour.
Gang, on YouTube, yeah. Didn't know that. Didn't know that whatsoever. You want to hear some quotes?
Yeah. I want to hear some quotes.
This is just from the game. These are some of the characters that give you a little bit of more... give you a little more flavor text.
Yeah, give us let's pump some life into this small trashy town.
Tycho says that's Tycho, right? T-Y-C-H-O, mm-hmm. Tycho. It has the potential, although I don't know if building it out of the refuse of the past was the best way to construct the future. This one's from Killian. This one I really do like. My father used to tell me stories about the war. His father was a soldier before starting Junktown. I would love a game where you get to just talk to people who were there during the war.
Yeah.
And not just, here's me and my wife, who's a lawyer, and me, who's a soldier, and our baby.
Or you and a bunch of your friends are going to glitch your way through a mountain. Can I read the next one?
Sure.
This is by Kalnor, a Junktown guard. You'd better put that away. Junktown is a friendly place, friend. We want to keep it that way.
So you read it friendly. I read it as mean. I read it as you better put that away. Junktown's a real friendly place, friend. We want to keep it that way. Like, I read it as more of an intimidation thing.
I was trying to be more hospitable.
No, I'm with you. I just, you know, two people going two different directions at the same place, same time. Let me tell you, putting classical music on in the background was the best thing we ever did for the show. It only took 140 episodes. For the past,
like,
4 weeks,
we've been listening to, like, Pride and Prejudice-ass music, and it really just makes me want to be just drinking a, like, a bottle of wine and just, like, have candles going and, like, maybe flower petals raining upon me. And it just really is calming me down.
It's helping me read.
You know what to read?
Kyle just showed me.
Oh,
you know what the trick is? You know what the trick is?
What?
You gotta sound things out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Would have never guessed. This is from Ian.
I am a woman, so I can't read.
You know, women couldn't. You know, women couldn't open their own bank accounts until in America until the 70s.
What?
Yeah, that's like a thing. Women couldn't open their own bank accounts until the 70s. This is a quote from Ian.
If I transitioned in the 70s, would I be able to, like, keep my bank account, or would they take it away?
If you transitioned in the 70s, you wouldn't be alive.
Hey, there are some great trans elders that transitioned in the 70s.
Absolutely, but there's how many of them? How
Not
many
that
people
many left?
How many of them do you think transitioned in the 70s and then got beat to death?
Yeah.
Sorry to bring it down, but, like,
but would I be able to keep my bank account, or would they close it because I'm a woman and I don't know how to use my money?
They would have killed you. It wouldn't even
have been a lynch situation. You're
you
right.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't even have been like, can I keep this? It would have been like, what's that? Huh? And it just, like, 16 people with crowbars would have just started walking up to you.
See, I was thinking ice pick, but do your thing.
Can I get back to this fucking lore?
Yes.
Okay, this is from Ian, your companion. Junktown is a little south and a ways west. It's similar. It's smaller, but it's a good place to drop in for a drink. It's overseen by a fellow by the name of Killian Darkwater, the local shopkeep, sheriff, and mayor. Reminds me of a fellow with a fancy hat that I'm real keen on. Junktown's pretty tame.
Can I get
tame.
The next one?
Okay, go ahead.
Junktown's pretty tame. I prefer more dangerous routes. That's Carrie of the Crimson Caravan.
I also, when I played Fallout 1 for the first time, just found out that Carrie, you can actually go on caravan runs, and it's really cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's dumb, and it doesn't, like, it's, if you go to the, I believe it's through the hub. Yeah, I'm like 90% sure it's out of the hub. You can, if you go to the hub, you can just use that to find other places. They pay you, and it's always a one-way trip. You don't ever have to come back.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so, like, if you're in the hub, you're like, oh, I gotta go to the Boneyard or something, and I haven't discovered it yet, but I know I can use this to get there. You'll go, you'll get a little experience, you'll get a little loot, because normally you get stopped by some people on the routes, some raiders on the route, and then you can kind of just go from there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, if you want, you got 3 hours, but we're gonna head back. If you want to come with us, you don't have to, but if you want, there's a couple more caps in it for you, and then we can get back to
that's
the hub.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a little, little tiny thing that's really cool. This is from the Vault Dweller's Memoirs. It was here that I learned the most important rule of all. Doing a good thing sometimes means being a very bad person. My memories of Junktown are tainted, and I feel no remorse for my actions in that place. Very open-ended.
Is that cool? Because you usually have to kill Gizmo?
Well, you either kill Gizmo. When you do the quest for Gizmo, he'll – and Gizmo's voiced by Jim Cummings, who also voices the Master, and fucking Winnie the Pooh.
I know. That's crazy.
Gizmo will – he'll say to you – he'll say, like, look, I'll give you a ton of money, and you'll have, like, some kind of stake in the town or something if you go and kill Killian and his guys.
So that he can take control of the town.
Yeah. So then Gizmo controls Junktown. So, like, the way that's written, it could be like, oh, I feel like I did something bad because I killed Gizmo, or I feel like I did something bad because I killed Killian.
Either or, the Vault Dweller is seeming to be not remorseful.
Yes.
The initial design for Junktown called for the ending cards of the city to be reversed. Specifically, if the Vault Dweller sided with Killian Darkwater, then Killian's firm frontier justice would discourage traders and merchants from starting business in the area, leaving the city a small shanty town. If the dweller sided with Gizmo, then the resulting prosperity brought in by Gizmo's casino led to the city becoming a new boomtown. Ultimately, it was decided that this was a mixed message and was unsatisfying because it meant that the expected results, a good ending for supporting Killian and the law versus an evil ending for supporting Gizmo and his criminal enterprises, did not match the player's actions. The ending was subsequently changed so that supporting Killian led to the town to prosper with law and order, while supporting Gizmo turned the town into a seedy den of iniquity.
If you go with Gizmo,
I can read.
Does Kyle teach you? If you go with Gizmo, it makes you make a smaller new Reno.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It's located in present day Ridgecrest, California.
It's assumed
nearby.
Yeah, cool. That's Junktown. That's the lore.
That's Junktown. There's also the books, like the,
they'll be on screen.
Yeah, the Tales of the Junktown Jerky Vendor. I have literally never read a single one of them.
What?
I've never read a single one of them.
In any of the games?
Yeah. None.
How?
I mean, I picked them up, but like I've never like read them.
Well, I mean, you can't flip through them. It's not Skyrim.
Like Fallout 4, can't you? Isn't there like reedy stuff?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I guess I must just be small brained.
I thought you meant like it's not like Skyrim where you could just pick up the Lusty Argonian Maid. Which, you know what? Why didn't they put that level of effort into 4? I mean,
yeah.
Why didn't they any level of effort into 4? But why didn't they put that level of effort into 4 of like
everyone with the bingo card mark off Vince dunking on 4?
But like, Why not? Like, they obviously, it's built on the same engine that they've been using for 35 years. Like, why not just have it where you can flip through the Junktown pages? Like, it's, it doesn't have to be about Killian, but it could just be like, when talking to a vendor, try to compliment him a little more than usual, and maybe he'll give you a better price. Like, it's just like these, like, shitty little tips.
Mm-hmm.
Just something to bring the world a little, you know. That's lore. So here's the thing. I listened to, listen to this PlayStation podcast called Sacred Symbols, right?
Which, amazing name for a podcast.
And I'll be honest with you. The guy who hosts it, his name is Colin Moriarty. And I've talked about this before.
Colin Moriarty.
But like Moriarty Saloon, that's the reason why I listened to it. That's how I found out. I think I found out about it because they were advertising on Macaulay Culkin's podcast. Macaulay Culkin fucks. Macaulay Culkin is the fucking coolest guy on the planet.
Really?
I feel so bad that Macaulay got like shit on because of what he, like him being a kid and growing up and then like doing coke and shit.
And like being in the media. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's a cool dude. He says, like, he would say on his podcast when he was still doing it, he's like, I made my money. I just want to have fun now. Like, so they're talking about how Ben Studio, and I'm going to get this wrong, and yes, again, once again, Vince is biting an idea, but they're talking about how Ben Studio made Days Gone. And I've talked about Days Gone on here and how it fucking sucks.
It's or maybe boring. It's not that it sucks, but that you didn't like it.
Okay, fine. I'm projecting my own wants and needs and how I feel about a game onto how it is. I think it fucking sucked. It was boring. The cutscenes suck. There's a lot of moments that kind of just take away control from the player. And I was like, this is so, like, it was just this constant deadening of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I've been playing with some friends Borderlands 3, and as much as I love that game, now that I'm playing it again, I've noticed that's something that game does constantly.
Like cramping your vibe.
Just stop, go, stop, go. Like, Borderlands is very fast. It's quick. It's about sliding and shooting and jumping and bopping and looting. And, like, it's like, go save Vaughn. Now I got to sit there and listen to Vaughn talk after I freed him for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Then I got to follow him. Then he's going to stop and talk to Lilith, and I got to listen to them talk. And then it's like, do this quest. You're on Promethea. You go and you do this quest. All right, come back to Lilith and tell her. She can call you.
It's like back and forth and back and forth.
And I'm just like, why are you deadening my momentum? Like, that's where the game is the best, is when it's quick.
Yeah, and it feels like I'm not getting anything done.
Because, like, I got to sit through these loading screens. And I got to do that. And I got to do this. And I got to go back. But Days Gone is not getting a sequel. I don't think it needs a sequel. I don't think it's good. I think it's a game that came out. It was decent. You played White McWhiteman. You played Deacon St. James or Deacon St. John.
White McWhiteman.
Yeah. Like, the only way he's going to get whiter if his name's fucking Hellman's Trisket. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Hellman's Trisket.
I want to just read. I want to read some of this.
That's so funny.
I just want to read some of this because Ben Studio, they said they weren't making it, and now they're remaking The Last of Us 1.
Remaking it?
Yeah. The Last of Us 1.
Does it mean remaking?
No, it doesn't. The Last of Us was on the PS3, and then they remade it or remaster it for the 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Naughty Dog said they did that so they could learn the PS4. But Naughty Dog only ever put two games out on the 4, and that was The Last of Us Remastered and then The Last of Us 2.
Last of Us 2, great.
I mean, it's in my eyes, it's a masterpiece. I love that game. I know people are going to shit on it, whatever. I love it. But Ben was like doing – they made them do like a remake of Uncharted, or they were having them work on the Last of Us remake a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they like didn't want to do it. They're like, no, we want this. We want to do Days Gone 2.
Yeah, we want to do our own thing, not your thing.
But there's so this I'm just gonna read this. If I gotta cut things out, I'll cut things out. Yeah. There's one part that I know I want to get to, because I said before, I heard it on the podcast and it rubbed me the wrong way. So this is by Dom Pep. This is maybe not an Italian fella, but because it doesn't end in a vowel, but
Don Pepiat.
Pepiat. Dom Pepiat. This is posted on April 18th, 2021 in the year of our Lord at 1631 Greenwich Mean Time on VG247.com. Days Gone director John Garvin has a response to the unraveling story about Days Gone 2. The writer and creative director of Days Gone took to David Graff's podcast to state that players shouldn't complain if a game doesn't get a sequel if they didn't buy it at full fucking price. And then it goes on to say, with a quotation, I do have an opinion on something that your audience may find of interest, and it might piss some of them off, said Garvin. As Garvin said on the podcast, if you love a game, buy it at full fucking price. I can't tell you how many times I've seen gamers say, yeah, I got this on sale or through PS Plus or whatever. I'm just saying you don't know if you like a game until you've played it, but you can't complain if the game doesn't get a sequel if there wasn't support at launch. It's like God of War got whatever numbers of millions of sale at launch, and you know, Days Gone didn't. I'm just speaking for me personally as a developer. I don't work for Sony. I don't know what the numbers are. I can tell you that when we were doing Siphon Filter Dark Mirror on the PSP, we got so fucked on Dark Mirror because piracy was a thing that Sony really wasn't caught up on. Sony wasn't really caught up on what piracy was doing to sales. Garvin wanted to explain. We would show them torrents. A torrent site had 200,000 copies of Dark Mirror being downloaded. If I remember right, the numbers could be wrong, but regardless, I was pissed about it then. This is money out of my pocket. I think the uptick in engagement with the game is not as important as did you buy the game at full price, because if you did, then you're supporting the developer directly. Now, I have some problems with this, and I don't have the problem with this guy wants me to buy a game that I think is lackluster. This is a game where I was playing it, and I was genuinely going, why, as I was playing it. But these gripes are not the point of what I'm getting at.
Right, yeah.
There's a fan base for Days Gone. My one friend who I've been playing Borderlands 3 with told me he loved it. He goes, it gets really, really good towards the end of the game. But here's my thing. If I played 5 hours of it and wasn't having a good time, I also don't like the way the story's set up, because it's like branching paths and you can kind of choose what you want, but I never fully grasp what was a main quest and what wasn't a main quest. Everything kind of, which is nice that everything kind of felt like, oh, it has its own importance to it. But like, it was at a point where I was playing it where I just kind of wanted to do the story.
I just want to get through this.
Yeah, like I want
to consume
about
this media and add it to my Rolodex of things that I've done.
This is actually a kid I work with collects Funko Pops, and yeah. I told him I would trade my copy of Days Gone for his Ellie Pop.
Really?
Yeah. So, and he told me he would do it. So,
do it.
Yeah. But what bothers me about this, and we've had this conversation in public, we've had it in private, we actually had it when Young Heather came on here, is yeah. that our video games art.
Absolutely.
And I'm totally with you. I think the definition.
Some video games are art, and some video games are the equivalent of it's like, you know how like you could put butter on a cracker? Some video games are just like platters for money, you know?
I see what you're saying. Like you're like, saying like a Halo or a Call of Duty.
Yeah, like some video games, I think the original Halo should be considered art. It was inducted into the Video Game Hall of Fame. Actually, have a picture of that.
I think it should be inducted into the video game. It should be considered art because it was. It's the. I don't know if I would consider it
Combat
art.
Combat Evolved, dude.
No, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying. But when I think of what Halo Combat Evolved did for the industry of video games and not so much of what it did through storytelling or graphics, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. when I look at the art of a video game, I don't just mean like I'm not saying that something like Super Monkey Ball or Ape Escape isn't art, or Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank or
but
even
it
Tetris.
Feels nicer in my soul to call something like Journey art.
Yeah, so I'm not saying that
quite
that
literally
it can't
because
be.
It was recognized by like the MoMA.
Was it really?
Yes, it was the first video game inducted into the MoMA.
Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Just Markiplier playing it. some YouTuber playing it so everybody can see. But I'm saying like when I think of art, I think of the storytelling. I think of the graphics. And I'm not a graphics person. I want the story to be good. But yeah. This is what fucking bothers me about this is, and you just said this to me the other day. Don't make art for other people. Make it for yourself. Make what you want to see. And I get that this is a business. At the end of the day, like Sony doesn't sit here and say, well, this is art. This should be looked at and like put in the fucking Louvre next to the Mona Lisa. But when he says, this is money out of my pocket, that just fucking rubbed me the wrong way. Out of everything he said, I get it. He feels like he was screwed over. Apparently he left this guy who was in charge of the game, who was the director, left the studio after they told him that he wasn't getting Days Gone 2. And to me, I don't know the relationship he had as a director with his team and with the game and how he cared for the game and thought of the game and this and that.
I didn't get my sequel. I quit.
You see what I'm saying? It's I'm taking my ball and I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
And then to bring up this is money out of my pocket just rubs me like
it does rub me the wrong way. I think it's very arrogant.
It's very much like this dude thinks he made a masterpiece and he made it, in my opinion, a subpar video game.
And he made a video game.
Like, and that's the thing is I don't want to sit there and be like, well, dude, you're just making video games, because video games have the ability to tell stories and to make you feel. I'll never shut up about
how. And they
have
potential to be high art.
Yes. And like that's what I'm getting at. Like you watch a movie, it makes you cry. Last of Us 2 made me give a fuck about a Pearl Jam song, and I can't fucking stand Pearl Jam.
Oh my god.
They suck. They fucking suck. Every
That's
fucking
like the
Pearl
worst
Jam song sucks.
Ever said. You know
Dude,
that?
Son, can we talk about how much Pearl Jam fucking sucks?
I was making fun of Pearl Jam at work the other day. I was like,
every song sounds the same, you know. We sound like Creed and we fucking blow. Fucking Pearl Jam sucks, dude. They're so fucking awful. But listening to Joel sing I can't even think of the name of the song because they suck that hard. Like Days of Future Past or something like that. Hold on a second. Now I got to look it up. Like listening to Joel fucking play that song fucking in front of Ellie just makes me want to fucking ball my eyes out thinking about it. Dude, Kyle
said
imagine
a Pearl Jam song made you feel something.
See what I'm saying? Like that's how
that
I
must
knew.
Feel really bad. How do you sleep at night?
I don't want to talk about it. Future Days. It's called Future Days. And I was walking around the house singing it, trying not to cry. It It's so good. It's Last of Us 2 is a fucking, and that's the thing is like, I hate to say here's the two zombie games going at it. This one's good because it has characters that are well written and it has conflict. And yeah, the one part goes a little too long, but like, I don't mind it. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was actually thinking about this the other day. At
least the gameplay's tight.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I kind of want to pop it in just to, cause you could just do the scenarios. Like, ooh. I just want to play as Ellie and just, like, go through her combat scenarios again just because, ooh, I love this game. And yeah. I'm like, here's the dude who made the mediocre – like, they show his wife in the beginning of the game and then, like, two or three or 4 hours in, they show how, like, he met his wife. And it's like, oh, my God. It's so forced. Like, it's just such forced exposition.
Mm-hmm.
But like also he brings up God of War. You watched me play God of War. Yeah. God of War is a work of art.
Yeah, it's
like
God
like,
of War. What was it? Ascension? Is that the one you have?
No. It's just God of War. It's technically God of War 4.
God of War 4. The one. The Norse mythology one.
Yeah.
Super cool.
The way the game looks, the way the axe handles. There's an entire episode of Kyle and Vince Likes where we talk about how fucking baller God of War 2017 or 18 is, or whatever, or 16, whatever. I think it's 18. Just how good it is. And like,
very good. It's 2018, I believe.
But like, that's a game that I bought for $10. Like, if you worked on that game, regardless of if it sold 16 million copies or not, like if I met the dude who's the director of it, and his name escapes me right now, can you please look it up?
The director of God of War.
Yeah. Like if I met him and I was like, dude, I got the game for $10 because I didn't think I would like it because I never played any of the other ones. Like that alone should like put a smile on the dude's face. Like, yeah, I got it. I did it. Like I did what I had to do.
There's a difference between like recognition and commercial success.
Commercial success is great, but it's not everything.
The developer was Sony Santa Monica.
No, the director.
The director on this.
He did all the other classics. He did all like 1, 2, and 3, I'm pretty sure.
Corey Barlog.
Oh, it is Barlog?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know if it was him. For some reason,
the designer was Derek Daniels.
Well, I'm just saying the dude who directed it. We don't have to go into the whole.
Yeah.
But
there's a shit ton of producers, but that just means that they had money.
But like, here's the thing too. This entitlement coming out is like,
I think this is just a shitty dude. I don't think this is a systemic problem of the industry.
No, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that I wanted to bring up the argument that video games are art. Mm-hmm. And to just talk to that, I bought God of War for $10. Whether or not I have a PS5, I'm buying the special edition of that game. So when I get a PS5, that's the first game I'm playing.
Because it's going to rock.
And now they have that. They got the money. They missed me on the first sale, but they got me on this. They missed me on the way going, but they got me on the way back.
Yeah, you can like pull in a fan casually that becomes a fan.
Yeah,
you can get an audience and grow the audience with each thing. Like I got the original like Fallout 3 in New Vegas for like on a Steam sale for like I don't know maybe like $10 each.
Yeah.
And now they catch me buying power armor helmets.
Yeah, and more than just buying power armor helmets. We have 147 episodes of us talking about the post-apocalypse world, a fictional post-apocalypse world I used to write fan fiction for.
You know what I mean? And I still do.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You miss the point, dude. You miss the point of trying to touch people. And not that Michael Jackson touched people. Like, you miss the point of trying to reach out and say, hey, this is a piece of art that can make you feel a certain way.
Not that this just was something that didn't make your bottom line.
It was just a product. That's how this reads to me. And
I hate that the commoditization of it there. Because I look at it from a very, like, artistic lens.
Dude, say what you want about Neil Druckmann. Mm-hmm. The dude gave a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, make fun of him, call him Neil Cuckman, whatever. Say that.
Which is, I think, a really funny joke, by the way.
It's hilarious. But, like, say what you want. Talk all the shit you want to talk. When I would watch that dude talk about The Last of Us or post-tweet about The Last of Us or something, that dude gave a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That dude gave a fuck. They're working on the third one. Neil Druckmann had come out. Kyle sent me the tweet today, and I told him, I was like, I'm crying at the thought of, I want to cry at the thought of a Last of Us 3, because I'm so, that's like one of my most anticipated games ever. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Is there going to be a Last of Us 3?
Let me find the tweet, but yeah, it was, the tweet pretty much surmised without me looking at it, was like, we have an idea of what we want it to be, but remember, these games take a long time.
So it's going to be 8 to 10 years before we get it.
Because
The Last of Us 2 obviously was on the drawing boards while Last of Us 1 was happening.
I don't know.
I mean, from a understanding of the design and development process, it has to have been. So if a Last of Us 3 is in the cards and it's a completely new story and it doesn't really focus around the people that are already like established characters, it's going to be a bit.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to be – I don't want to ruin anything. So Last of Us 1 came out in 2013. Last of Us 2 came out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So Last of Us 3, do not expect Last of Us 2 until 2027 at the earliest.
At the earliest.
2029 at the latest.
At the comfortable, I would say.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But – this is a tweet from Nebel. Kyle always sends me this dude's tweets.
Yeah, he has some decent coverage.
While not yet anywhere close to being in production, the story of the next Last of Us game has been outlined by Neil Druckmann and Haley Gross. Druckmann emphasized that the amount of effort necessary for the he emphasized the amount of effort that is necessary for these games to be made. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I just.
You just really like Last of Us.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't I hate that I'm comparing the one zombie game to the other zombie game. But I just feel like they're, you know what I mean? Like, how are you not going to do that?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it's fair because it's
their
own thing.
In the same spaces, so you can't help but do it.
Yeah. But I just I it's not often that we get to sit here and talk about. Well, I talk about my opinions constantly, but it's not often that we get to sit here and talk about the opinions of something that I think directly impacts all of us and not just me going, how come Fallout 4 wasn't better? Like,
like we're talking about the artistic status of video games.
See, and I think
that's something that's very interesting, and I think it deserves more attention.
Yes, because much like the way contemporary art constantly will change I wouldn't consider, like, if you put The Last of Us 2 next to something like Super Mario Brothers from 85 on the NES, I would say, well, this is art because it looks better, but this is art because of all the work and the thought. And this, so, like, it's different.
The technology behind it was honestly, like, pretty incredible for the time. It was a different time.
I don't think enough people talk about the crash of 83, the video game crash of 83. People do not know.
I don't think enough people
talk
about the inverse square root, but
I don't know what that is.
Oh boy.
Could you give me like a TLDR?
Yes. So it's basically it's the best lines of code ever put into a video game. Hold on.
What's it called? The inverse square root? I just don't want to edit, dude. I'm trying to fill time. I'm trying to fill dead air.
Fast inverse square root. It's so fucking funny. Here, let me throw it in host labs.
It's not going to make sense to me, even if I see it.
It's pretty well documented.
You're well documented.
Scroll down to where it says overview of the code.
You're an overview.
Let me know when you get there. F. So basically, this code was made for Quake 3 Arena, and it was trying to figure out how to do light reflections in a GPU in a way that it doesn't fuck the GPU at the time.
Okay.
So my favorite lines are in this function are, well, the comments are what makes it so funny.
Yeah.
Evil floating point bit level hacking. What the fuck? First iteration. Second iteration, this can be removed.
That's awesome.
And do you see that that like I equals and then the like weird number string? Though on the line that says what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
That is, like, a weird constant for, like, fast light reflection that was way before its time, and they just guessed. they guessed until it worked. And
cool.
This is one of my favorite game design stories because evil floating point bit level hacking. What the fuck?
And that's just in the game. That's just shipped in the game.
That's the source code.
That's so funny. C-code. That's so cool.
It's so funny. What the fuck?
So, you have anything you want to say on this?
I think that everyone should go out and play Journey. If you really want to understand why video games can be art. I actually just recommended it to an older lady that came into the coffee shop the other day. Because she was like, we were just like talking and chatting, and she was talking about her kids. And I was like, oh, I'm a game designer. Like, that's what I go to school for. And she's like, oh, really? I have this radio show, and I want to like talk about it with my kid. And I was like,
if you want to talk about... Did you plug this show?
No, she's like on like a radio broadcast. Like,
plug... And you could have been like, oh, you know, I work on a podcast.
I was like, she was like, can you give me a video game to play so I can like have something to talk about? And I was like, let me think of a video game that's going to be accessible. So I, after
Doom
she like
3.
Ate her food.
Doom 3.
Doom. And after like she had was done her food, she came back up and was like, hey, did you ever think of that? Because I said I needed more time. And I was like, yeah, go play Journey. Because it's literally just jump and move. That's all you need to do in Journey. There's that like pathless, not much else to it.
I think it's called The Pathless. Have you seen that? The Pathless? It's like Journey and Breath of the Wild put together.
No.
Let me just double check that it's The Pathless. We got to wrap up in a minute.
We do have to wrap up. I have to get up for work.
The Pathless video. Yeah, you have seen it, dude. I remember when we were watching thing with it. You play as like girl with bow. You know I'm a slut for a female antag.
Oh yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, pro tag. You play as the girl with the bow, and she's got a hawk, and she like slides through the
grass. Oh yeah, this looks really cool.
What do you mean 2 out of 5 stars? This looks really cool.
Yeah, this looks really cool.
I really want to play this.
2 out of 5 stars?
That's what The Guardian gave it, but it's The Guardian. It's not like, I mean, IGN, 7 out of whatever, too much water.
Yeah.
Did you know who can't stand IGN?
Who?
Papa.
Really?
Dude, Papa hates IGN. We every once in a while, we shit on IGN together. It's been a while, but yeah, I really want to try this.
It's from the creators of Abzu.
You're an Abzu. So, clever segue into Shane Ivers.
Shane Ivers. If you want to get his music, like our intro music, Feather Duster, you can get it at www.silvermansounds.com/free-music/feather-duster. Vince,
yes.
Tell the good folks at home where they can find us.
In the description below, there's going to be a link to my Twitter, Al's Twitter, the show's Twitter. And while you're down there, check out our Discord. This week, I didn't know what to do because, like I said, bad at time management. So for lore, I asked Discord if they remember me doing a certain lore topic. While you're down there, there's a couple links to a few other things, a couple other social media sites. We were streaming pretty steady for a while. Things kind of changed. My schedule got weird. Her schedule got weird.
My schedule got super weird, too.
But check us out. Check us out there. There'll be a point in time where we get back to it in some capacity. There's also our Redbubble where you could buy a couple designs that I yelled at Olive and then she drew and like sketched out and they look good. And they're on some shirts and blocks and clocks and whatnot. And again, thank you to the Patreon.
And if you have any more designs to yell at me, let me know.
I actually do. I have something quick that I need to do. Thank you again to our Patreon. Because of you guys, we can continue to do the show and do all of our other shows. There is a new Lizard Brains coming soon.
Oh, cool.
I know it's kind of at the end. Something happened. It's kind of a long story, but I was trying to get back on a schedule and then just something happened. So don't worry, it's coming. It'll be out when it's out. I think that's everything I wanted to say.
Well, that's everything that I wanted to say.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Say bye, Vince.
Bye, Vince.
See everyone.
It feels wrong when I do it. Like, it feels wrong when you do it to me.
All right, well, then you can do it to me if you want.
All right. Bye, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.